Welcome to Authors on the Air. I'm Pam Stack, your host. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Before I get started with my guest today, I want to remind you that a lot of really great books were released this week. First of all, in audiobooks, Tom Pitz's American Static is out, and I highly recommend that book. Breaking Glass by Alex Cizek is out. River of Secrets by Roger Johns, which was reviewed by our book review team, is out, and they gave it 5 shiny stars. Other people are Lisa Black, who has her new book, Suffer the Children, released now. Hank Philippi Ryan's book release, Trust Me, and Hank will be on the show tomorrow morning at 10. Christy Craig's Don't Close Your Eyes, and J.D. Rhodes' Fortunate Son, all released this week, along with many others. So please check out your booksellers, whether it's online or in brick and mortar, and support these wonderful authors. Today I'm speaking to another fabulous author whose book came out in July. It's called The Disappearing. Lori Roy has been nominated and won several different awards for her writing. And in one case, she was the first woman to receive an Edgar for both Best First Novel and Best Novel. She's the third actual author that has that's happened to. So, but she is just a very wonderful, prolific writer. I cannot wait to talk to her and learn more about her life. It is my pleasure to introduce Lori Roy. Hi, Lori. Welcome to Authors on the Air.
Happy to be here.
I'm thrilled to have you on the show. I think we were talking in the green room. You've been on some other shows from the network, but, you know, I'm like, I kind of am the last one to get you. I think I'm lucky, you know.
Well, here we are.
There you go. Absolutely. Finally. Congratulations on the success of your books, and particularly The Disappearing, your latest novel. Before we talk about anything else, would you tell listeners a little bit about this story? I like it because it's a Florida book, and I'm always thrilled to talk to Florida writers who talk about Florida. We have kind of our own sense of, you know, you don't have to go very far to get inspiration when you live in Florida. You just pick up
a newspaper.
True. But so tell us about The Disappearing.
That's true. Well, it is my first novel set in Florida. I've lived here in the state for 20 years, and I guess I just now got comfortable enough to set a book in Florida. It's loosely, I don't want to say based, but inspired by a boys' reform school that operated here in the state of Florida for over 100 years.
Yep.
With reports of serious abuse that have gone unchecked during that entire 100 years. And the novel is not about the school. It's not set at the school, but instead it's set in the years after the school closed, which in my novel and in real life, it closed in, I believe, 2011. And the novel takes place in a fictional town of Waddell up in the panhandle of Florida. And Lane Fielding, who is my protagonist, wakes one morning to find her 18-year-old daughter is not where she should be. And after some initial investigation by the police and discounting that she has just stayed out too late, Lane is faced to confront the fact that her daughter may have fallen victim to violence as an act of revenge against Lane's father for the crimes he committed while director of a boys' reform school.
Wow.
And then, worse yet, she's concerned that her 10-year-old daughter might well be the next target. That's it.
You know, I know the story of the boys' reform school because hundreds of boys were dropped off at this school, and sometimes by parents, sometimes by law enforcement, and many of those boys died from abuse. And I think there just recently they opened a big investigation about this and are actually finding skeletal remains. And you know, of course, 100 years ago is a long time ago, and I guess a lot of the perpetrators are now gone. But it is a huge story now in Florida.
It started with a handful of men, I don't know, maybe around 10 years ago, who were all men in their 60s or 70s. They found each other on the internet, realized they had similar experiences and came forward with these accusations of horrific abuse. And that last time I spoke with a reporter who has covered this case for about 10 years, the number of men who've come forward has grown to about 500.
It's just amazing. They were treated like itinerant workers at as young as 7 and 8 years old, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm. That's how the school originally started. Yes, was
horrible. When you write a story like this, and especially because it's inspired by true events, how much research are you doing to make your story more fuller and more complete?
You know, I did quite a bit. Actually, I have in some ways been researching this novel for about 10 years because that's how long I've been following. This is a story that's the Tampa Bay Times, which is my local newspaper, covered extensively for at least 10 years. And I sort of, even way back when I first started following it, I had this feeling that somehow, someday, I would write about this situation and really society's failure in a broader sense than the school even was the failure of Florida society to address this issue. But I also knew way back then that I didn't have the tools as a writer to tackle that kind of subject.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave myself some time to grow up a little bit as a writer in order to feel like I had an appreciation of the kind of decisions that went into writing a book like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I settled on this is what I'm going to do, I did all kinds of research. I went back and read the newspaper. I went to visit the town where the school actually is, went to the school. I didn't go in because it's all fenced off and there are guards there. Stomped around some of the swamps up there, went to some antebellum homes, a lot of just sinking in to the environment sort of research.
Yeah, it must be very eerie being in that area and knowing what happened there. It kind of freaks me out thinking about it too. I'm from Miami originally, so you're almost a native. You have a few more years before we claim you one, but I've been here all my life and that's a long time. So I want to talk about what you did before you started writing. You're originally from the Midwest.
Yes.
I know you graduated from Kansas State University. What did you study in school? In college?
Finance and accounting.
And I just see how novel writing is so tied into that, Lori. Were you always a storyteller?
No. Of course, as a teenager, maybe I told my share of stories to get out of trouble. I don't know.
That's a different kind of storytelling.
I do remember writing, although I was never the kind that I never kept a journal. Whenever I tried, I ended up just boring myself. I have nothing to what's interesting about my life. But as I look back, say at the only writing I did in college was the what you had to take, Comp 101 or you know whatever. But when I think back on those classes, it not that it came easy to me, but I had a sense of, I guess I had an ear for it. Like some people pick up music, they just have an ear for it. I didn't appreciate that at the time, and that's only a beginning. There are so many skills you have to learn beyond that.
Sure.
But you know, looking back, I can see where I have an ear for it. And then when I decided to, I had one child at the time when he was only three or four, we moved here to Florida. And at that time, I decided to leave the corporate world and stay home. And that's when I wanted to start pursuing a career that I'd have when my kids grew up. And now my kids are grown up and they've left home and I have a career.
How wonderful. Were you a reader, even though you weren't a writer?
Yes. Yes, I did. I did read a lot. Professionally, I did just a lot of tax code, tax law kind of reading, which, you know, although there is a lot of, if you're writing maybe a response to, you know, in the corporate world, the Internal Revenue Service issues, like they have questions about your tax return, you have to write them an answer. And so you do have to structure that answer in a reasonable fashion to make a point. And that does translate into fiction or any kind of writing, really.
I would imagine the
not
analytical
that I was writing
side.
Fiction.
Well, no, but I imagine the analytical side of finance and so on also helps you when you're crafting a story. But would you say that most of your craft you get from reading other writers' work? Does that help you?
Oh, yes. And I have always read a lot and continue to read a lot. I read a lot of nonfiction, particularly when I'm researching a book, but I do read a lot, and it's as much as, you know, you learn from reading things that you love, and you learn from reading things that, you know, that one didn't quite resonate. Now let's think about why. And there's as much learning that comes from that, maybe even more. And I also spent some time studying, you know, in conferences, workshop settings, working with great writers who were also great teachers.
And, that's wonderful. Yeah.
And finding other, you know, writer friends in the early days before I was published, we would exchange our work and offer each other, you know, analyze each other's work. And that's a tremendous way to learn. I always encourage when I'm teaching that it's not so much about what everybody else says about, you know, the writer's work. It's what the writer can do for other writers and helping them become better, because those analytical skills you'll learn to apply to your own work. So, yeah, all that went into my development as a writer.
You've won Edgar's for your work. When they called your name the first time, do you actually remember it?
You know what I remember is... I can't remember the show now, but I remember hugging my husband. And, you know, one of the categories for Edgar's is best, like, screenplay for a TV show.
Right, right.
And I don't remember if it was Breaking Bad or it was some show was sitting behind our table. And as I'm hugging my husband, they're back there waving. And I was like, oh, that's cool. It's the Breaking Bad people. I don't remember what show it was. Yeah, and we had pink champagne after, and
remember what you said when you accepted your award?
I know that I did this both times. I had just written down some names, and then I give the sheet to my husband, and his only job, if my name is called, hand me that sheet of paper. I'll forget to take it otherwise. Because I have had so many people support my work and help my work along and help me as a writer, develop as a writer, and so you want to remember. And in that moment of, and the second time I won, I told a story about my son giving me a mason jar full of moonshine. He was going to school in Georgia at the time, and that second win was a book set in Kentucky. And so he said, it's not Kentucky moonshine, but it's as close as I could get. And I had my lucky moonshine for the second win.
Oh, my gosh. Are you, you know, you've published like every other year you have a book that comes out. Is that correct?
You know, approximately it was 3 years for The Disappearing. And then my next book will actually be out within a year. So yes.
Are you getting faster at writing, or are you figuring out shorter ways to write or different ways to write? Why do you think that is?
Well, I
not
had
as
a deadline.
Oh, well, there you go.
I had a deadline.
That'll do it.
But yeah, I think I ended up having about a year and a half to write the one that's coming out, just how things have fallen. But I'd like to think I'm getting quicker, but I don't know. It doesn't really seem to get any easier. I avoid some pitfalls that I've, and maybe I'm a little more experienced, but I don't know that I'm any faster.
That's funny. Do you ever look back at your first book at Bent Road and say, oh, I wish I could redo it? Or are you happy with the way that book looks and feels right now?
You know, I haven't even read from it probably since about 2012. And I have never gone back to read it. So
that's so funny.
I occasionally will get asked questions about, you know, one of my either Bent Road or my second book, or even my third. And if I know in advance, I have to get the book, go back and kind of review the characters, or I might get an email from a reader. You know, I just read Until She Comes Home, and could you tell me if this is what happened? Am I right? And I kind of read it, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember. Boy, that's
so funny.
Good. That's the way it happened.
You finish them, and you don't have a recollection of them. But each of your books is a standalone, so it's not like you have a character that you've always got to have uppermost in your mind, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Will you continue? You'll continue to write standalones?
You know, in the foreseeable future, I just haven't ever felt like it's in my strike zone. I think it is. It's a unique skill. And, I also don't, to date anyway, I haven't written anything that's really procedural in nature.
Right.
You know, I don't have a main character who's a detective or a PI or...
Right.
In crime fiction anyway, in large part, that's where you see... your series. It's you're following
a
detective or and that's probably what limits me more, that I'm just not, I don't feel on solid footing or that I can really bring anything to that. I think other people are doing that very well and much better than I could at this, like, at least at where I'm at right now.
Whose books do you like to read, Lori?
Oh gosh. I read all over. I recently finished Lisa Unger's book. It comes out in October, Under My Skin.
Yep.
Not long ago, read Michael Connelly's, I'm terrible with titles, but he's got another one coming out soon with Renee Ballard.
Yeah, The Dark
Bosch
Sacred
and,
Night. I have that one. Yeah, it's great. It's a fabulous book. I like that book a lot because I think she's smarter than Harry Bosch. You know,
I had a feeling she would be. Yeah, I reread the first Renee book in anticipation of the second one. And I just had a feeling she might end up being the, he needs to be challenged that way. I think that's good.
Yeah, I do too, especially because of the way this book ended. So I agree with you. I really like that character a lot. I liked her in The Late Show too. So, and I like that they've paired up. So it's a very good book. Who else do you like to, do you stay within your genre when you read?
Not necessarily at all. I actually have been reading Gilbert King. It's nonfiction work. He was here in St. Pete not long ago, and I went to hear him speak. He was fascinating. And, This Is Us, maybe that's the name of the show. I'm trying to find the book without losing my phone reception. It's a book I recently read, and now I can't find it to give you the title because it was not crime fiction.
It's nonfiction, you say?
No, it was fiction.
Oh,
darn it. I feel bad that I can't remember the title.
That's
but,
okay.
Yeah, I read a wide... a wide swath of things. But when I'm, like right now, I'm starting to kick around an idea for what will end up being my sixth book. So that's why I'm reading nonfiction at the moment. Gilbert King has a couple books that I'm bouncing back and forth between.
You have the fifth book in the can already.
I do. We're down to the littlest bit of editing, hopefully littlest bit of editing left. Yeah, and so it's at least the bulk of it's done.
When you get your edits back from your editor, do you immediately see where that editor has made it better, or do you sometimes say, no, I think the change is wrong?
You know, I think I've been really, really lucky in that respect, because I do always feel like they have made the book stronger. And, you know, sometimes it's that, like, my editor will point something out that, you know, let's make this stronger, or let's, you know, lift this storyline, or this isn't working. And then it's, you know, my job is to figure out why it isn't working, because it might not be kind of the band-aid of fixing just something in one chapter. That may not really be the answer. It might be fixing something that happened, you know, in the first 10 pages of the book.
I see.
But yeah, I've been very fortunate in that respect. I have great editing, and I always feel like the book comes out as strong as it can be in the
end. Good. That's good to know. So do you have a manuscript buried in the bottom of your desk somewhere that will probably never see the light of day?
You know, I used to until I had two of them, and then I shredded them.
Did you really?
Yeah, we went through a cleaning out the garage, and I just, honestly, I didn't want to read them because I didn't want that flawed voice getting back in my head. And I just let them go, ran them through the shredder.
Wow.
So I can't say they're hidden in my desk drawer anymore, because they're hidden in a shredder.
Wow. I think that's great that you did that. How did it happen for you that you got published? What was the chain of events that led you to be published?
Well, first I wrote for about 10 years.
Did you really?
Learning the craft. Yeah. About 8.5 years in, I started Bent Road. Took me about 1.5 years to write it, and then I queried, you know, I went out and did my research, and there wasn't nearly as much on the internet at that time. Information wasn't as accessible as it is now. I went out and researched, you know, writers that I thought were kind of in the same vein, and tried to find their agents. And I queried, I think, 9 or 10 agents, and then a Swedish writer friend of mine that I met at a writer's conference. She lives in Sweden. We would Skype. She Skyped me one day and said, hey, this is an agent I followed for years. She just left. She was a VP at Trident. She just left and started her own agency. I queried her, and that was Jenny Bent. And so I was just a slush pile query. And a few days later, she requested the full manuscript. And, you know, I don't know, a week or so after that, she called and offered representation. So it was just
how wonderful.
Just kind of nothing extraordinary about it, just going through the motions, and it worked out.
You were very lucky to find someone that way. How long did it take for you to buy a publisher?
Jenny and I think we, she really didn't have any edits for the book. I think maybe I did a little bit of cutting in the beginning. And then she worked up what she does as far as, you know, here's Lori's bio, and she had her pitch about the book. And then she took it out, I want to say, like on a early in the week to a number of publishers, and then I think it was a Thursday it actually went to auction. So it sold pretty quickly within a week, and it got to the auction. Yeah, that was fun. Stressful.
That is great. You know, I'm reading the reviews from Bent Road, which is the first one, correct?
Yes.
You've got kudos from Dennis Lehane, from Michael Carita, from Megan Abbott. PW starred it. NPR said it was an extraordinary, emotional, powerful book. Your own newspaper, St. Pete Times, just raved about it. Library Journal starred it, and Kirkus starred it. I don't think that I know of many people who've had that many strong reviews for their debut novel. Congratulations on that.
Well,
and you continue to get really rave reviews on all of your work. I'm so glad for you. Your newest book, The Disappearing, has been called A Sinuous Slow Burn by PW, which I love that. That's such a great description. And and you've even been mentioned in the Oprah magazine, which is amazing. I know my friend Elaine Cogdale loves your book. She's talked about you before, and even Lisa Unger has blurbed you, and Al Fair Burke, who was just on last week, and Hank will be on tomorrow. Your books are really well loved. You've gotten tons and tons of great press. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I loved you reading your book. It scared the crap out of me, which is, you know, for me a pretty good sign, since I read a lot of thrillers. So when someone scares me like that, I'm pretty certain that's a really good story. You know, it sticks with me because I remember reading it a while ago.
Well, that's good. That's what we aim for.
So do you have a working title for your next one, Lori?
Well, I think so. I think that it will be Gone Too Long.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Any spoilers? Can you give us a little, just a teeny little synopsis?
You know, I don't have like my slick elevator pitch worked out.
Oh, that's
okay. I can say that it's set in, I'm sticking with the South, set in a fictional town, kind of in central Georgia, and a woman makes a harrowing discovery in the basement of a home on their property and fears that it will topple her family's homestead, what she has discovered.
Wow. Wow.
That's all I got right now.
I kind of like these creepy stories here. So, you know, I'm interested. I can't wait to read it. Will you tell everyone where they can find you on the webs and in social media, please?
Yes. My website is loriroy.com. And I'm pretty much anywhere you go on social media, you'll find me. I'm Lori Roy Author on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And I will be at the Decatur Book Festival this weekend. So if you're there, come on out. It's always a beautiful day up there. And I'll be at BoucherCon next week here in St. Pete.
No, I can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait to see you. I'm bringing my book for you to autograph, okay?
Absolutely. Happy to.
I'm one of those fangirls, so.
Me too. I'll be writing down my favorites.
Lori Roy, thank you so much for being with me today. I've so enjoyed our conversation, and I want first dibs next time before you go to any other shows, if that's okay with you, when the book comes out.
Absolutely.
Have fun in Decatur. It's a great little town, and they have a really nice book event up there every year. I'm very well aware of it. And, of course, there is no place better than the World Mystery Convention for BoucherCon, and I'll look forward to seeing you there, and particularly for the live shows, too. Thank you so much. Congratulations on your success, and thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Bye-bye. And that's our show for today. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, Hank Phillippe Ryan is with me. I hope you've enjoyed yourself. Next week, I will have live shows before I go to VoucherCon, but pay attention because we're doing a big gaggle of authors from VoucherCon right from the conference floor. Thanks a lot, folks. Have a great day, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Bye-bye.